Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Behind the Scenes podcast. We're super stoked to be back after missing last week. We got a good episode today, kind of a fun, different one this week on my Instagram. And I think Audrey just did it on hers. We asked you guys to interview us. So we're going to be answering a ton of questions from you guys. And our goal is to kind of like run through them all, like just kind of like zip.
We're going to try to answer as many questions as we can as fast as possible. So we probably won't dive too in depth into each question. So if we feel like, if you feel like we're leaving you hanging, we might dive more into some of these topics in future episodes. And so we're really grateful for all of your guys' questions because a lot of them have given us ideas for future episodes and just fun stuff that we want to talk about. So
there were some really good questions.
Yeah.
Like some of these were super insightful. Like, oh, that is, I don't think I've ever been asked that before, which being interviewed my whole life is interesting. So yeah, good job, guys. It was like, it was really cool to read through them all.
Let's just get started.
Yeah, I guess let's just get started. So, but hold on, to Audrey's point, we're probably going to do podcasts in the future. Now that we have a database of questions, we're going to go, okay, these two questions are related. They're really good and they deserve some adequate answers. So, you know, let's
just
talk
about that.
It
gives us ideas too for, you know, future guests to bring on the shows that are really experts in these topics, and like certain things that you guys ask us that like, oh, like that's interesting. A lot of people are asking about finances. Like maybe we should bring a finance person on the podcast or maybe we should bring it. So just lots of great ideas. So thank you guys so much for taking the time to send in your questions. We're super excited to just tackle some of these.
Yeah.
I will, you know, disclaimer that we haven't prepared too much for answering these. We've just kind of pulled a bunch of your guys' questions and we're just going to kind of answer them on the fly. So this is very behind the scenes.
All right, so babe, I think we should just go through. You want to go back and forth on them a little
bit? Yeah, I love that.
All right, cool. Guys, jumping in. First question, here it is. Audrey, how did you know Jeremy was the one?
Okay, well, first of all, I will say, I think Jer and I agree on this. I hope we but the idea of the one, that's such a like lofty thing. And I know this might sound kind of like wah-wah, but Jeremy and I don't fully believe in the idea that there is one person that is destined for you to marry out there.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds like very unromantic, but we just believe that there's probably a lot of potential people that both of us could have married.
Yeah.
And whoever you end up marrying becomes the one.
Yeah,
so,
totally. You find someone you want to do life with, you love the person they're becoming in Jesus, and you want to be a part of their story and their adventure till death do you part. They're the one.
Yep.
And you could probably do that with multiple people. However, I do believe, babe, we were a match made in heaven.
Which I think every couple in love story who doesn't end up getting married should believe that.
They should believe that, totally.
So I think that that is, But there's one.
Next question.
Okay.
Sorry.
I was just going to say one more thing. There's one thing that John Mark Comer says in his book, Loveology. He talks about how, you know, you see the person that your potential spouse or the person that you're dating is becoming and you can't stand the thought of missing out on it. You can't stand the thought of missing out on their journey. I love that as just a way to describe.
Indication of the one.
So anyways, okay, next question. Do you ever argue about spending money?
Yes. I think Audrey and I, we do have arguments about that. And I've noticed that those arguments always come when we have gotten lackadaisical about the budget. or like we just don't know what we're spending money on. And it's like, we'll look and be like, how much money do we spend on Postmates this month? Like, or like, babe, why is there only, you know, a couple hundred bucks in our checking account? Like, what's going, like, there's something wrong. And then we have a big fight about it. Cause like, what's going on? Well, we've gotten lazy about kind of our budget and our structure, our boundaries that we've set up around our finances. So we do argue only when we get lazy with our boundaries.
It's good. I don't know if this is, sorry, if this is too much of a tangent, but there is, you know, our marriage journal once a month. We have this question that pops up in the marriage journal.
How are we stewarding our finances?
How are we stewarding our finances? So we know that once a month we're going to talk about finances.
Yeah.
And so that's helped us prevent the arguing about spending money.
Yeah.
Because we just have that check-in.
Next question. What did you do individually and together to prepare for marriage? Oh, this is a huge question.
So honestly, this question is so much of our book, A Love Letter Life. It's so much.
It's a lot of it.
It's so much of our book. Jeremy and I are super passionate about this. One of the things we always say is we want to inspire people to prepare more for their marriage than their wedding day. And so we did a lot to prepare for marriage individually before we were even dating. And then once we were dating, but and then when we were engaged.
What are some like practical ways? I think individually we
read a lot of books.
We read a lot of books. We pursued friendships because going into marriage, there's nothing more powerful than having like close friendships that you can rely on, that can help guide you, that can give you wisdom, raise red flags, green flags, like friendships who are, we were both very intentional about not just having friendships, but inviting those friendships into our love story. And that was huge.
Mentorship,
reading a lot of books. One of the questions actually I remember skimming through was like, how did you guys find your mentors? And I'll just say like, ask, literally go to church, go to an older couple that you know is, you know, healthy and married or whatever, and literally ask to have them over for dinner.
Right.
And then do it.
Don't make it weird. Like, will you mentor me? Just be like,
would you want to have dinner?
Us?
Like, and then they might ask why. And then you go, my fiance and I, or like my boyfriend and I, or my husband and I, or whatever, like, we just, we heard some good things about you. We just would love to have you over for dinner. And, whatever you come up with, but just say, it doesn't need to be weird. Just do that and then do it the next month and the next month. And the next thing you know, you have a mentor.
And usually those people are super honored that you'd ask because a lot of times I think that people, that word mentor is a big scary word. And I think a lot of older couples think, oh, I'm not qualified to be a mentor. But if you go and ask them to dinner, they'll feel qualified. You know, like that's not as really lofty and scary of a thing. So,
all right.
Is it my turn to ask the next question?
I think we should just ask them whatever. But
where did you go on your honeymoon?
We went to Jamaica. We loved
Jamaica.
It.
Jamaica. Nice Jamaican ring.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do. Nice Jamaican ring. All inclusive is what we did.
All inclusive.
And isn't for everyone, but we personally loved that because we didn't have to think about anything, worry about anything, bring our wallet anywhere, and we could just like consume and be okay with that. And so for us, the all-inclusive aspect was like, I'd never been to neither one of us had been to an all-inclusive resort before. So that was awesome. But yeah, we went to Jamaica.
And Jamaica was beautiful. So
yeah,
fun.
It was awesome.
The place that we stayed was awesome. Just like the warmest water, huge sandy beaches.
Didn't we have our first fight there too? Or not fight, but like, we went on a run and
No, that's Costa Rica.
Oh, that was Costa Rica. Never mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. How do you plan your week or schedule your calendar together? Sorry if we keep bringing this up, but again, the marriage journal. Every Sunday we sit down and there's a calendar in the marriage journal and we plan our whole week out.
Yeah.
And then what we do is we go to the calendar. We have this big like whiteboard calendar and we'll write out our specific tasks. But the marriage journal is where we talk. It's like where we plan our week, and then the other calendar is where we plan what we're actually like tasked to do.
Yeah, there's a difference between, you know, the marriage journal calendar is more of a social events, things, you know, big picture things. And then we have obviously like work calendars. We have a Google calendar. We have like other, you know, specific calendars to specific projects. So, but yeah,
the marriage journal is huge. Sorry that we keep saying that, but it's just the best.
How do you pray together?
It's so interesting because it's like, how do you pray together? We pray.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like we pray. I think where the heart of this question is either a wife asking on behalf of her husband because she wants her husband to do it and she wants to give him tips, or this is coming from a husband and wife that have never prayed together and just don't know how because it feels weird for some reason.
Yeah.
And we empathize with both of those concepts, but I just think, again, if you go out to dinner with an older couple and someone prays for the meal or whatever, it's like, that's an awesome example of how to pray. But really, it's just like start, literally just pray. Like, how do you pray with God on, you know, by yourself? Right. We'll just do that with your spouse, but hold their hand and say it out loud. It's like, it's the same thing. It's a conversation with God, like a conversation with your spouse. So really, it's just start. For us, what kind of helped us get into the rhythm, again, the marriage journal is like,
every Sunday,
the last question is, or last thing to do is like pray together. So we will literally just look at what we just wrote and then pray for the week ahead. And it's been an easy way to like, we have something to pray about. And so it kind of guides it a little bit. It's normalized.
I will also say too, just real quick note on that. We praying together for Jeremy and I out loud has really helped our prayer life because I'm sure a lot of you can relate to this. You're laying in bed at night, you start praying, then you fall asleep. But if you're praying out loud with your spouse, it's much harder to fall asleep.
Yeah.
You know, you're tracking and then you're proclaiming out loud and agreeing together in prayer. So
totally. Next question. Top five things you would recommend to newly married couples besides the marriage journal.
You knew that we were going to talk about the marriage journal. This question comes from Haman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Top five things. So first I would say, to newly married couples.
It's so ironic that this question just so happened to get thrown there.
Newly married couples, I would say find somebody. I know we talk about this a lot, mentors. Find an older couple that you can have dinner with once a month. Doesn't have to be the same older couple every month, but once a month, dinner with an older couple. We're probably going to say different things, so there might be more than five. But
that's one. Build out a mission statement and a couple values for your marriage. So it's like, this is something Audrey and I did a little bit late. You know, like we were not perfect on this, but now that we've done it, it's like, holy smokes, we should have done this day one on our honeymoon, really, is when we should have done this. And so that's good. Like, what do you guys want to stand for? What do you want to be known for? And what do you want your, you know, 5 to 7 values to be as a married couple? Mm-hmm. Like, knowing that is really cool. Going off of that, come up with like, you know, make it attainable. One thing a year you want to do together, like one rhythm a year, one rhythm a week. And even if you're feeling up to it, like one rhythm a day. So it's like the daily one for Audrey and I, like one of ours is like, we kiss each other goodnight every night. Like simple, clean, so simple, attainable, doable. But it's like, that just helps. Mm-hmm. So those are really good too.
Those are two things. Third thing I would say is find community as quick as you can. When you're married, find other married couples that you can talk to about marriage with. And I say, this is also something that we've just found, you know, having gotten married and moving away from home. I think it's really special to find friends that are your friends as a couple together that you actually met together, as opposed to, you know, these are Jared's friends he grew up with, or these are Jared's friends from college, and now I'm becoming friends with them. Like, there's just something special about finding friends together. I always recommend that to newly married couples.
Yeah, basically, don't isolate. And we have a whole chapter in our book called Not an Island, and it goes over this whole thing. But and then
what are some other things?
I know this says besides the marriage journal, but like, I can't not say it. That's the most influential thing in our marriage. And it's kind of like, why would we not say that?
I'd say one thing we've learned from failing, just because a lot of these things were things that we did do or have done, is, you know, talk about a budget, set that up, like figure out your, like, what are your financial goals as a married couple? You know, what are your beliefs about debt? What are your beliefs about like saving for your children and leaving a legacy and inheritance? Like, kind of align yourself on those things and have that conversation. Cause we didn't until much later into our marriage. And I wish we would have earlier.
Totally, babe. Last thing, then we got to move on. But like going back to the, do we fight about money? That money question. We just recently wrote out our beliefs about money. So we have like a statement that we wrote out that says like, this is what we believe about money.
Yeah.
And so like, for example, one of them is like, you know, we don't want to have debt, right?
And
so
maybe
like,
we'll get into this in another podcast.
Okay, maybe we'll get into another podcast. Okay. Anyways, writing out some of those statements is really
cool.
How
do you keep your marriage exciting?
Oh, that's one I wish I would have thought about.
That's rude.
No, I mean, like for us, it's almost too exciting sometimes. Like we just have a lot going on. No. But it is.
I think for leaving room for spontaneity.
Yes. I was just going to say, for us, we fall into a rhythm of like, it's just, we just become business partners and we just work and everything's exciting, but everything's high stress and there's just a lot to do all the time. It's like, we don't catch a break. But for us, we like to like, you know, we talked about this, I think a podcast or two ago, our Thursday family days, which might be Saturday. We're still feeling that out, but like that's a day set aside for the family for us to go do something. And that's really exciting because every week we know we get to go do something. And that's something we've just built into our
and,
week.
I mean, since the question was specific to keeping our marriage exciting, I'd say also just date night and like trading off. We haven't been as good about this, but in theory, we liked the idea of trading off planning date night and like kind of surprising the other person.
Yeah, then surprises there's an element of are always exciting.
Excitement.
That's a good one, baby.
Except just...
baby, what? I was reading the next question and it says baby.
I typically am That's the one I feel one. Like that plans a lot of the date nights because yeah. I find all the spots. But, yeah.
All right, next one.
Just an idea for you guys.
What's your advice for being in college in long distance relationship? Wow.
Okay.
You know, we get this question a lot and I think this is one of those questions we should probably like, we should do a long
this is
distance
a podcast.
Podcast.
I know we don't want to say that about everything, but couple quick things about being in a long distance relationship. We talk a ton about this in our book because we did long distance for 3 years for those of you guys who don't know. And we probably saw each other, you know, once every 3 months, like very
no,
little.
No, more than that, babe. We only went 3 months.
Three
twice.
Months was the longest we
that
ever went.
That was the longest we ever went. But like yeah, we would see each other
that.
Probably twice a month. Like we because I would fly home all the time to film.
That's often. I don't know. I disagree with that. Oh, that's we had a lot of 3 month stretches that were really hard.
Yeah, I mean, we did, but
I would say find ways to keep it creative via long distance. For us, it was letter writing. It was finding gifts to send to each other. It was having our roommates deliver things for each other, keeping that element of surprise. And
yeah, and then the second thing for us, I think, was realizing the type of relationship it was and not having expectations that were impossible to meet because let's be real, a long distance relationship is not
a real relationship.
It is a relationship, but it's not.
It's just hard to
you're
do.
Not
you can't do
gonna get out of that relationship what you want, and so for us that realization was so healthy and so huge. And
don't compare your long distance relationship to your friends who are in a relationship in the same city.
Yeah. Like you can't compare them. They're totally different. And if you're trying to do that, it will ruin your relationship. Then going off of that too is just find out, you know, everyone communicates differently. For us, we found it more meaningful and we felt more connected when we talked twice a week rather than every day. So we only talked twice a week.
Or even once a week
or
sometimes.
Once a week. But we had a lot to talk about and it was an awesome, amazing, intimate, good conversation where we set aside 2 hours to do so. And this isn't to say we didn't sit on the phone and do homework with one another every night or not every night, but like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't to say we did those cute long distance-y things, but for us, we didn't text each other all day, every day.
Yeah.
Because then when we talked, there was like nothing really to talk about.
And then we got frustrated by that.
So,
yeah. Okay. Did you
Yeah, next, starting your own business as a stay-at-home mom, any advice? This is from Marissa.
Starting your own business as a stay-at-home mom, any advice? So I would say, this is just for me, you know, I'm not proclaiming this as prescriptive by any means, but just something that's helped me as a stay-at-home mom, working from home, has been just in the past, it depends on the ages of your kids and all that, how many kids you have, but I would say having a nanny 3 days a week, knowing that I have dedicated time to work, helps me know that I have dedicated time with Ember. And it just makes me feel like I'm less, I used to feel, you know, before we sort of established that, which has been a newer thing for us, but I used to feel much more like when I was working, I felt like I was supposed to be playing with Ember. And when I was playing with Ember, I felt like I was supposed to be working. And now I feel like I have such a better separation between those two things.
Yeah.
And it's helped me not feel guilty as a worker or as a mom. So if you can find, you know, if you have a grandparent or if you have a nanny or if you have a friend that's willing to watch and have a play date with your kid for a certain amount of time, once a week even, you know, just have that time has been a huge thing.
Totally. That being said too, though, babe, you know, granted, we only have one kid and she's young, but, you know, nap times. That's when you, or I would watch, like some other people might not have this, you know, if the husband doesn't work from home as well. Like I was able to take Ember for a walk for an hour and then come home and put her down. So with the walk and the nap, that's 2.5, 3 hours where Audrey's able to do stuff.
Yeah.
So finding those little pockets of time and stuff.
Letting
and,
your husband have a day date with your kids.
I think also, you know? I think also the like raising a kid, like, you know, our culture has turned work into the most important, valuable thing. And it's kind of, you know, I guess I don't want to get into that, but like raising kids totally awesome. And I totally agree with like, I think every mom, you know, it'd be awesome if like a ton of moms all over the country were starting businesses and doing cool stuff like that. But, but you know,
I love that.
Just there's a balance there too. Mm-hmm. And, I think it was really difficult for us to find that and we're still finding it, but the nanny has been recently a good help. Yeah. Sorry, that was just a random thing. I started to go somewhere, then I pulled it back and I was like, I don't know. All right, next question. What's our go-to meal for lunch or dinner?
Yellow curry.
Yellow curry from a Thai place that's literally just outside of our neighborhood.
We eat a lot of curry. Yeah. Like probably twice a week.
It's so good because we can keep leftovers and Ember likes it and it's just really good.
It's got chicken, veggies, rice.
Yeah. Go-to lunch, though, I make a pretty mean homemade balsamic vinaigrette dressing grilled chicken salad. That's kind of my go-to lunch when I'm like operating in a healthy rhythm.
Avocado toast. Totally.
That's yours.
A millennial answer.
And I don't really eat.
I saw a meme the other day that said, why our generation is obsessed with avocado toast. And then it was a picture of a Lunchable and it says, because we were raised on this. Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
That's funny.
Okay. Hardest thing about being a new parent. Babe, what's the hardest thing for you about being a new parent?
You know, it's like getting married is a journey of self-discovery, but it's also a journey of like self-denying. And I think having a kid is just an continuation of that journey, right? Ultimately, the journey is becoming more like Christ, and in doing so, loving people more, and just that whole process. And you know, having a kid has really shown me even more so, and even further, just deeper, I don't know, selfishness stuff and issues, and I don't know. It's just it's a journey of self growth, and that's always difficult. But to be a little more practical about it, probably time management, like just, you know, having less time and going through that learning curve.
I'd say the hardest thing for me has been just all the decisions that you have to make, and just the pressure to make the right decision. You know, I'm not going to get into all the controversial issues, but just, you know, there's so many decisions you have to make when it comes to how to care for or parent, or, you know, what to give them to eat, how to get them to sleep, what do you do about vaccinations? Like all these different things.
It's a full-time
job.
There's
so many things. And for me, the hardest thing has been feeling like I don't have enough time to research a lot of those things to make the best decision and then feeling guilt about that, guilt that I didn't have that time to make the best decision because I'm so caught up in working things. And so like, that's been just a hard thing for me that I constantly struggle with on a regular basis. First impressions of each other.
Oh, that's a good one. First impressions of each other. I always have said interested. Like I was very intrigued.
There's a line in the book that you said that is not interested.
Peculiar.
Your first impression. No, when I answered the door.
Oh, who is this girl? Yeah. Or, that story is really
funny. Make out, period. That's literally what Jared said. Okay. Too much. TMI. No.
No, it's first impressions of each other. I thought Audrey was beautiful and very interesting. Like there's an energy about her, something just that was, you know, extremely magnetic for me. And I would say, what about you, babe?
I would say similarly, I thought that you were very much a gentleman, just in the way that you came to the door and opened the door and like just the littlest things. You're very much a gentleman. I'd never experienced that before, ever. I was intrigued by that. And then also just intrigued by just, we felt like we were sort of like the, I felt like I had met like the boy version of me when I was first, our first date. And so just, the way that we got excited about the quirkiest things was exciting. So anyways, good. That was kind of first impression. But it wasn't love at first sight, sparks fly.
Yeah.
You know, that was not true for our love story.
I'm actually really,
read the book.
I'm really excited for people to, you know, because we get that question a lot, and for people to read A Love Letter Life and just kind of get the actual whole story, not, you know, either the snippets they've seen on TV or piece together stuff. None of our
dating journey was on TV. None of it.
Speaking of TV, does Ember watch TV? We just started.
Established guidelines for this recently.
Yeah, recently. So she watched her first, she went her first entire year without having a minute of screen time outside of, you know, her accidentally waking up in our life and looking, or in our life, in our lap, and, you know, we're on our phone or something. But so,
and when my dad showed her Baby Shark.
That was after one.
It was?
Yeah, okay, that was after one. Right. So yes, we now have a couple shows picked out that we let her watch, and she'll have like an, whatever it is it an hour? I don't know.
We kind of stole this. Jeff Bethke had a good episode on his podcast about this, and we loved it. But
what
it's
was
just
it?
Travel, like exceptions for TV. And it was basically travel when you're traveling and when you're sick. You as parents are sick, or when your child is sick, and then like special occasions, which like I loved that model. I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah, but we do feel it's really important to actually have boundaries around that.
Yes, totally.
How did you find your mentors? We talked about this a little bit earlier. One good way to find mentors is to just ask. And that won't always pan out the way you hope, but it's a good way to do it. And pray. Like, just pray for mentors. Audrey prayed that I would have mentors for 2.5 years because I had never really had... I only had one, which some of you might know, Mike Dutchin, and he ended up passing away. But like, so then I didn't have any mentors for a long, long, long time. And then I found myself in Bend with 5 like amazing men of the word that we all pursued growth. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. And I equate that to Audrey just praying for that for so long. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, tough question.
That's good.
But
did you wait until you were married to be physical?
Yeah, this is interesting.
Again, this is a full chapter in our book that we did about.
Yeah, I don't want to say that to every question. But,
I know, but a lot of these are relationship based, so it makes sense to say it. But one of the things that we say is, you know, for Jared and I, the chapter in the book is called. Losing the purity battle. Like, we were fighting, we won the virginity battle, but we lost the purity battle. And we talk about like that distinction.
Yeah.
Jared and I did kiss, we held hands. We messed up, you know, sometimes.
We tell the whole story, but that's the short answer of it. So like, we were physical. So we won one battle, but we lost the other.
Right.
What did you study in college? Audrey's a dual major, marketing,
entrepreneurship and marketing was my major. Marketing.
I have a master's. I have a degree in professional photography.
Okay, definitely not a master's. We are not masters.
Why aren't you on the show anymore?
We did a whole episode on this.
Yeah, we did a whole podcast on this. It's probably one of the first. It was one of the first four, I think. It was like third one or something.
Want to listen to that one, you can. How did you come up with Ember's name?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, Ember's name. So we fell in love. Do you want to say this, babe?
Sure. We fell in love around a campfire pit. That's the short version of it.
Yeah. We fell in love around campfire embers, and Ember is...
And we talk into the embers until the night.
She's the fruit of our love. And so we just said like, wow, like how appropriate that we name our first kid, you know, Ember.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful name.
And then we just love like the meaning behind embers. Like, I did this whole like word study thing on embers, and I just thought, wow, this is so perfect. It just felt so right as a name for our first daughter, and also just like the symbolism behind her name, that we want her to be like a fiery light in this world.
Yeah.
And just, you know, enduring in all she does, glowing in all she does. And so, yeah.
How do you remain approachable to people who are skeptical about God?
I love this question.
Yeah, this is
I read really it and I was like, that's such a good question, because I think every Christian needs to be asked this question.
Yeah.
How do you remain approachable to people? Because we can become not standoffish. I can't think of the right word, but.
Well, I think our culture has produced this like me against you, us versus them, this, just this like feeling of my way or the highway.
Right. And lost humility.
We've lost the ability to learn, and we've lost the ability to have conversations. And so you put all three of those in a room, talk about unapproachable, right? Yeah. So I don't know. This is a really good question, because it's wrapped up in this cultural moment right now, and just society and, you know, the left versus the right and all this chaos that I think a lot of people, you know, maybe specifically Christians, just because of this podcast and what we believe, but like we're finding ourselves kind of in the tension of that and in the middle, trying to navigate our way of like what makes sense. And first of all, if we actually follow the rhythms and lifestyle of Jesus, you're going to remain approachable no matter what.
Right. That's a great point.
So I think it's like, okay, so you believe in Jesus, but you're not approachable. It's
Jesus was the most inviting person ever. So be inviting.
There's a discrepancy there, you know? And so once we start to return back to our sacred text, the Bible, I think we'll inevitably become the most approachable people in culture. Audrey and I, we make a huge effort.
We love talking to people who have different beliefs.
We love it.
Than us. We love talking to people. We have some of our best conversations with people who believe different stuff than us. Yep, honestly, totally. It's just, we love it. And so I think being willing to love that too is something that's part of it, is like, learn to like that, but you know?
Like, even if you look at this question a little deeper, like, how do you remain approachable to people who are skeptical about God? Well, why would you be on it? Like, what are you doing to be like unapproachable, first of all? But like, I think maybe the question might be asking for some practical tips of like how to invite someone into your home, or like how do you reach out to people that are skeptical?
Good,
you know what I mean? That might be an angle of the question as well. And there's like a ton of things you can do, like invite people to coffee,
or dinner at your house,
or set up, even if it's a question like, hey, like I noticed you, whatever, did this, I saw this, blah, blah, blah. I'd love to talk more about this. Would you want to go to coffee? Then you kind of have a little bit of an agenda there. And if they say yes, you can, you know, that's an invitation into some conversations about God. And that's very approachable and warming. But
first job. So my first job was actually working at Anthropology. I worked at an Anthropology in Portland. That was actually my first job. But like job out of college, more of a, you know, career job. I worked at Nike for a little while. And then my first job out of college, I worked in sales for Gallo, which is a wine and spirits distributor. It's the biggest one in the world. I think it still is. So that was my first job when we lived in LA. I sold alcohol.
And then for me, I've had a very unconventional job life, career path.
Jared's first job was Little People, Big World.
No, my first job was mowing lawns.
Oh, mowing lawns. That's
right.
Yeah, that's
what I always say. Yes. My first job was mowing lawns. And then for a hot minute, I started a little like yard service company. And that lasted about a summer. Then Little People, Big World started. But like, I didn't see, you know, any of that for a long, long time.
What was your first big job though, career job?
Probably the company Ty and I started filming weddings and freelance photography. And I was doing all that for a long, that was like college and after college. And then, you know, Audrey and I got married. We moved to LA. We started, you know, Beating 50%, that community. We pursued Audrey's blog. And then that's just snowballed into where we're at now, where, you know, we do a bunch of different stuff.
When did you become a Christian?
I became a Christian, I don't know, I was like 8 or 10 or something. And I think it was a Luis Palau.
Yeah, you thought it was Billy Graham, but it's actually Luis Palau.
Yeah, event in Portland.
Luis Palau conference.
What about you,
Billy? I was really little, 4, and I prayed with my mom. And I've just been walking with the Lord. It's been a constant growing, maturing journey, but I've never had like a real walking away. Or
I had a subtle, you know, I wouldn't call it a intentional walking away, but like,
just not intentional walking with.
But yeah, there was definitely a season of figuring this whole thing out. And I asked a lot of questions and I dug deep and I read a lot of literature. And I wanted to make sure that what I was about to commit my life to was in fact real and made sense and was logical. And so I definitely had that season, which I think is really healthy. I think C.S. Lewis, actually, he has a line. can't fully believe anything until you've fully rejected it. I don't know if that's actually the line, but it's the sense of like you have to really question something before you can actually fully commit to it or believe in it. And
it's good.
Anyways, I went through that season, but that's not to say that's gospel or anything, but anyways, just a note there. So a couple more questions. Are you guys Dave Ramsey fans? Yes, we're Dave Ramsey fans. I actually did read the book, and
we already talked about finances a lot in the beginning.
Yeah, we
talked
about finances.
We'll do a finance podcast.
Yeah, but if you guys want, there's an Instagram debt-free community. That's good. You can follow that. But yeah, we like Dave Ramsey. All right, babe. So let's do a couple more questions, maybe five, and wrap it up. So
cool. We'll try to be fast on these last few.
Yeah. Hope this has been kind of fun. I mean, yeah. It's a little bit random and we didn't really, you know, prepare too intently for it. We kind of just chose a bunch and wrote them
down.
It's
been fun. So I love it.
It's been fun. We'll probably do this again if you guys like it.
Okay. Can you talk more about home church? Really interested.
Interesting. Yeah. So I kind of like the long distance one. This would be a really good, you know, extended podcast question, but this is actually one of my greatest passions is just the current church and home church. And I just think it's a really interesting conversation. And I think the Lord's doing some really amazing things in culture right now. Plus just with church history, we're due. And there's so much in this question.
Give them just a little taste flavor of what home church was.
So we did home church for two and a half years in Bend. And it's church. It's just a bunch of believers getting together in someone's home and doing church. So it's like, this wasn't some glorified Bible study or...
It still had structure.
It still had structure.
That was a key distinction.
Yeah, we had, we had a few elders. There was a designated pastor that was like leading us, but like... You know,
different
people taught, you know, like even I was expected to come with a teaching sometimes. And, you know, and then I had the older men there, like counseling me and guiding me or like, that's actually incorrect. Let's study that. And so,
but there's freedom to ask questions, to dive more deep on things. It was very organic, led by the Spirit, but also still had some structure parameters. All the kids were there and sit. That was a huge part of it. Just the kids ask questions. Sometimes the kids share things or suggest songs.
We should have either like, you know, the Partridges, the Smiths, or someone on as
a
guest
to talk about
home church.
Maybe we'll do that.
But anyways, it's really basically
share a big meal together at the end of it.
Read Acts, the book of Acts in the Bible, and that's kind of what we did. More or less. Like that's what
we
home
tried
church
to do
is.
Church as close to how they did it.
Yeah,
in the Bible,
and it was fantastic. And there's no hiding that goes on, right? Like there's spectator Christianity, which I think is a trend. You know, a lot of America right now is you show up, you sit in a pew and you watch a couple people exercise their gifts and you just enjoy it. Maybe talk to someone, grab a donut and leave. It's like, there's no growth in that. And then people are wondering why they've been a Christian for 10 years, but like can't defend the faith. It's like, well, it's
and
because you've
Jeremy
been stuck
says,
in a pew, you know, for 10 years. And anyways, it's a whole conversation. I'm so excited to dive into it.
One thing Jeremy always says too is you win them with what you win them to.
No.
Or you win them to what you win them with.
That's not my thing.
Oh, I don't know whose thing it is.
Yeah,
you always
but
say it.
You win people to what you win them with.
So if you win them with donuts.
If you look at current like church, it's like people are being won to the faith with like, you know, with like an awesome teaching pastor and like good music and like donuts and coffee.
This is another podcast.
This is another podcast, but it's like,
now.
Yeah, but it's just like, that's, you know, that's a lot of people choose their church based on those elements and it's like, well, that's what ultimately we're winning people to. Yeah. And it's like if the good music stopped, they'd probably leave church. Anyways. Next question, Audrey, how did you get into essential oils?
So I got into essential oils when I was actually a little bit before I was pregnant with Ember. I started using essential oils for sore muscles because I was teaching bar 3. That was really like my first exposure to it. Then
that
I
was
got
like
pregnant.
2.5 years ago.
That was three years ago.
Yeah.
And then so we started diffusing thieves every night in our room to prevent us from, you know, getting sick in the wintertime. And then I got pregnant with Ember, surprise, and all of a sudden I cared way more about what I was putting on my body, in my body, products I was using, cleaning supplies, just trying to get the toxins out of our life. And so, you know, I've always been kind of crunchy and getting pregnant just made me a little bit more so. And so I started using them.
This is when I started paying a little bit more attention to them as well as a dude, like, you know, oh, babe, like, why is everything changing all of a sudden? Mm-hmm. And Audrey was pregnant, so I started being a little bit more thoughtful myself, I guess, if you will. And I appreciated that you actually cared about, like, you know, what's in bleach.
And so for me, they were a huge support to me throughout pregnancy, postpartum, and labor and delivery, like having a natural labor and delivery, huge, huge, huge support. And then on the flip side of that question, because I'm not exactly sure, you know, what the angle people are asking this question from, but we also just started doing the business side of essential oils a couple years ago as well. And so it's that's almost 2 years now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that's just been a huge blessing to us financially. And maybe we'll get into that at some point too. But
we started doing the business side was we wanted to leave the show and we were like, well, what's going to replace that income? Right. And also we had friends that were kind of struggling and said like, hey, like, let's just do this together. Mm-hmm. And so a couple of us started doing it together and that was, 2 years ago and it's been awesome. And it's more
the thing that I loved about it
replaced the show. And
obviously like, and maybe this is for another podcast. I don't want to get too into it. I'll try to keep this short, but obviously for me, you know, like products, I love them. Obviously you guys know I talk about it all the time. You guys always ask questions about it, but on the business side of things, it's given me the opportunity to help other moms run businesses from home with their kids, to stay home with their kids, to, you know, it's brought financial freedom into other families. And I've been able to help people do that. And that has just been like so cool.
That's been fun for you, yeah. So how did you get into it? Really, it was just 3 years ago starting to kind of care about what's in our products, and then pregnancy really flared up that concern, mm-hmm. and then wanting to leave the show, and then we looked at the business, and then it kind of snowballed into mm-hmm. where we're at now, and it's just been a fun journey so far. And now you have a bunch of friends and a whole team that you talk to.
It's such an awesome community.
It's fun.
Paid to do the podcast?
No, I know a lot of people seem to think we get paid to do this. No, we do this
free.
We do this for free. We do this just for to connect with you guys. It's mm-hmm. just a way for us to get, you know, like it says in the intro, get kind of behind the scenes of our thoughts and our Instagrams. And Instagram can be so front facing. And we wanted to do something with you guys that's a little bit more behind the curtain, if you will. Mm-hmm. And just like this podcast, answer some of your real questions and have it be unprepared, because we feel like that's just organic and healthy. And we hope you guys walk away from this podcast feeling, I don't know, refreshed, ignited, mm-hmm. and just more connected with us. So that's why we do this, and it's fun. Like this,
we love it.
This
is
one of the more fun things we do. And so, eventually, who knows? You know, there might be some sponsors that want to come in and help us be able to do it and do it more and longer. Right now we just do it. So do it for free. Last question: how did you come up with the name of your book? It's a great question.
So mostly, you know, obviously letters were such a huge part of our love story. And so we loved the idea, like the book, in case you guys don't know, is called A Love Letter Life.
And you can go to aloveletterlife.com to pre-order it, read about it, check it out.
And the subtitle is Pursue Creatively, Date Intentionally, Love Faithfully. So it's our love story, but it's also got a lot of just like, you know, what we've learned from failing and what we've learned from wise counsel and mentorship and just some hopefully practical, good, useful things for wherever you're at in your love story, whether you're single, dating, or married. So
also, you know, just to go a little bit further into it, like we believe love stories are... they're patient and they're slow and they're mm-hmm. thoughtful, creative, intentional. They're pretty much everything a handwritten love letter is, right? It takes time, it takes thought, it takes effort, patience. Sometimes you mess up and it's hard to,
especially on a typewriter.
That's what it all is. And you know, today with the phone and social media, it's like instant gratification. And like people are like thinking love stories happen like on date four. It's like, if I don't have this perfect love story, that matches this couple I see on Instagram, then it's not really the one. And it's like, mm-hmm. no, love stories is a process similar mm-hmm. to love letters. And so we wanted the title to kind of reflect what we believe about love stories and kind of hedge against the immediate, satisfaction that culture kind of, wants right now, and something mm-hmm. that the phone fuels in an unhealthy way. Just that sense of like now, immediate, and we're all looking at beautiful love stories, and it's like, anyways, that's kind of a deeper answer to the question, but
so, a love letter life.
Yeah. So that's that. Well, all right. I think that's good. This is
thorns and roses and thorns.
Oh man. Wow. Okay.
Here we go, babe.
Yeah.
What was your thorn?
My thorn this week was probably going on a run and realizing I'm not healed yet. Like I'm still, my chest, lungs, lungs hurt really bad, and there's still I'm still fighting something, and I feel fine, but there's still something in me. And I was like really bummed out.
Lingering effects of eating and laying in bed all day.
Yeah,
and
but I haven't been to the gym in like 2 months. And this is right after we just talked about our routines. Not 2 months, it's been a month. But like our routines and all that stuff. And I was waking up at 6 every day. And it's like now I can't do it. I haven't been able to. And that's been kind of a bummer. Babe, what's your thorn for the week?
My thorn was missing last week's episode of the podcast. I was bummed about that. We were just on such a good rhythm every week, and then we got slammed with just so much this week that we just could not make it happen. If you guys have been following us on Instagram, you know we did like 10 other podcasts for other people, and so we couldn't get it. So that was my thorn. What was your rose, babe?
My rose for the week, probably two things, which they might be similar, one of them, but interviews for the book. Was really fun.
Yeah, super fun.
Super fun. And then
exciting.
I'm doing a bunch of work on the marriage journal right now and just kind of correcting it and thinking about the future of it. And that's just been like, it's been really fun. Like I miss working on a project like that. And it's got me kind of inspired to work on other projects. And I think we just mentioned one previously in this podcast, like a dating journal. Like I'm just like, my mind is just like really going on all that stuff. And so that's been really fun this week. Babe, I almost forgot to ask you. What's your rose for the week?
My rose was just dinner with our friends. We had just such a good conversation. We had some friends over for dinner, and we had such a good conversation. And just going back on kind of like what we were talking about earlier in the podcast, these are some friends that like don't align with us on a lot of different levels, and we just love them and have the best time with them.
They're some of our closest friends, though. We love them.
Best conversations with them. So that was just super fun. They stayed super late. We both looked at the time and we took guesses. We're like, oh, what is it? 9 p.m.
Like 9.
And it was 11:30 when they left.
Yeah. Good blazing just, fire the whole night.
Yeah, sitting by the fire. Good conversation.
Some Moscow mules. It was good times.
All right.
Well, this was kind of a fun episode. We hope it was, at least entertaining. I don't know. I feel like we covered a ton of ground.
And again, there's probably a lot of questions we didn't answer, but we are going to try to, curate some of those and make them into future episodes. So we're really excited about that.
Yeah,
so thank you guys.
Cool. We have a database
your feedback.
Now. Yeah.
This has been so fun. Please don't forget to leave a review on the podcast. It helps us so, so, so much. And it literally will take you 2 minutes of your time. If you guys have been listening every week, please, if you could, just take a minute to do that. That'd be awesome.
Yep. All right, you guys. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week.